Welcome back to The Window Light. This is episode 2, where we're going to again discuss the weirdness that is the window light and the other strange happenings that have been going on in our home. Today's guest is local favorite Gretchen, and she's going to discuss with us her thoughts and takeaways from listening to episode 1, where we did discuss the issue with the light from the window, the voices being heard in the shower, the burning sensation experienced by my wife while looking through the window blinds in the bathroom. She's going to give us her reactions and her thoughts on that and what she thought about after hearing that episode. She's also going to share with us 2 different accounts of unexplained phenomena that she experienced as a younger person. And Jamie and I will discuss those with her and sort of give her our thoughts on those experiences that she had. We're going to title this episode The Fairy and the Hag. So if you're downloading this episode expecting an hour's worth of content on fairies and hags, you may be disappointed. They do come up at very important spots during the show. It's not all about fairies and hags, but they do pop up in very interesting places. So I thought that was an apt title for this episode. A disclaimer here. We do speak a bit about the Bible, about Christianity. There are some ideas in here of a spiritual nature that some listeners may not subscribe to. In upcoming episodes, we will be talking with people of other faiths and other beliefs, and there's a place on this episode for every belief, every faith, every background, every faith-based anything. We do not discriminate on this show at all. Gretchen's accounts happen to come from a Christian background, and I think it lends a very interesting authenticity to her stories and her take on our own story. So sit back and relax, and just get ready to listen to a conversation between 3 friends. Nothing scripted here, no real editing gone on here. This is basically a conversation between me and my wife and her dear friend, Gretchen. So I hope you enjoy it. And without further ado, episode 2 of the Window Light Podcast, Fairies and the Hag. We have with us, as always, my wife, Jamie, is here. Say hello.
Hello.
And we also have a local favorite, Gretchen. Say hi.
Hi.
Gretchen and Jamie have known each other for several years, and Gretchen was kind enough to listen to our first episode and had some thoughts about it that we'll dig into a little bit later. But before we get too deep into that, I would be interested to know from Gretchen, how surprised were you, or were you surprised at all, to hear some of the tales that Jamie told on the first episode?
I wouldn't say I was surprised, but they were very specific in a way that I wouldn't have thought of.
Has she ever mentioned anything like this before to you, just in your own conversations?
With those specific things, no. But we've talked about, you know, otherworldly things before and things that are not the norm. But no, not specifically that.
I was a little too scared to tell anyone about it for a while, because it makes it more real when you tell people about it.
I agree.
Have you ever talked to Gretchen about anything that disturbing but not paranormal before? Or unexplainable, rather?
We have worked together for a long time and known each other a long time, and we have a lot of mutual friends and coworkers, and a lot of them have tales of things that have happened in the area. So we've talked about things that have happened at our place of business before. We've talked about things that have happened just in the local area before. So anytime a story comes up, usually brought up by somebody else, we've discussed it.
Before we go into your recounting of your experience listening to the episode. Have you visited any of the local haunts or spooky areas in the historic triangle area on your own?
Yeah, I think not necessarily go to it on purpose. Well, that's not true. When I was in high school, we used to try to seek out some of the places because there's lots of little local books where they talk about, you know, haunted houses and haunted areas and places. So I've been to a couple of those. And I just feel like it's kind of a spooky place in general. I mean, not like all the time, but there's so much history here that I feel like it almost lends itself to that sort of thing.
Would you consider yourself a seeker of certain knowledge, certain unknown things? Do you find yourself drawn to these haunted areas?
I don't think I'm necessarily drawn to them or I seek them out. I think I'm just more like aware that they are there. And I think actually the older I get, the less I would try to seek that stuff out and just, you know, fine with it just being there. I know that it exists and that's fine and I don't need any kind of contact with any of that stuff. Maybe when I was younger we did it just for fun, but...
Did you ever attempt to contact anything when you were younger?
Never. My mother, like, warned us of, like, Ouija boards and stuff and said, you know, if you're looking for something, it'll come out. So that scared us enough that knew. I never, like, tried to make contact with anything that wasn't here. I just, you know...
Did you come from a very religious family?
Not very religious, but yeah, a Christian family. But no, not like overly religious. Just, I think, you know, we believed in like fairy tales and ghost stories. We just assumed all that stuff was real. And we didn't want to like make contact with anything that could be negative or nefarious or anything like that.
Got it. So do you believe that if you try to open the door, something will come through?
Yes, and that's why I will never try to open the door, because something will come through no matter what, you know? So even if you're thinking, well, I'll try to contact this person that's, you know, moved on or something, I think something else could come out. So I would just never try to contact. I feel like if they're important to you in life, you'll see them again someday. So, and if they're not important to you, like if you never knew them, then, you know, what have you got to discuss?
That's true. Have you ever tried to do any ghosty stuffs with Gretchen, local favorite?
I do not believe so. We, you know, like I said, we've discussed other people doing things and seeing things around us, but I don't think together we ever have. Because we like safety and comfort. We don't like to be scared, so. We usually tend to avoid those activities.
What is it that you find scary? What would be scary about that?
Well, there's the element of, I guess it goes along with what you feel when you watch like a horror film. There's the element of the jump scare. So seeing something unexpected you don't want to see. And, you know, the fear and the heart racing, you know, feeling you get going along with that. But there's also the element of just... the unexplained thing that you just don't want to bring into your mind or bring into the forefront because it's more on a deeper level, just very intimidating to think about things like that.
I think the same as what Jamie's saying. I think if it's something that's unknown, then you can't really control it. And so, I don't know, like the whole phrase, like, don't borrow trouble comes to mind. You know, I don't really seek out that kind of thing, you know. I just know it exists, and that's enough.
You both made a mention about things being controllable. Is that important to both of you? To have control over your environment?
I just think as much as you can. I just think that there's other scary things that are more tangible, like if somebody was breaking into your house, you could call the police. If your house caught on fire, you could call the fire department, but you know, if something otherworldly happened that was a negative, what do you do about it?
You can't call the cops.
You cannot. They'll probably think you're crazy.
But was there a time in the past where such tales were not so strange? So, say if someone saw something in their home or experienced something and they reported it, would they have always been seen as crazy?
would say that's something that came in sometime after the Age of Reason, so sometime after the 1800s and maybe even early 1900s, just going into that more modern era in, you know, after you have all those philosophers in the Age of Reason and that kind of thing. I think that they try to explain a lot of that away during that time period, and it became an increasingly taboo subject after that. You know, especially with the invention of modern conference, you know, cars and TV, and people become more and more scientific. And I think along with that scientific mentality, it led them away from explaining things by supernatural elements.
Yeah, I'd agree. I don't think people are as superstitious as they used to be. But I think, like, kind of like we were saying, modern conveniences, I think even something as simple as electricity, like lights, you know, if something's dark, like if the sun goes down and it's just completely dark, then there's things to fear around you. So I think that's why, like, certain fairy tales come about. It's like, don't go off into the woods by yourself, you know, mm-hmm. don't talk to strangers, because there was less they could do about it back then. So
yeah.
I think now we've grown comfortable thinking, well, there's always someone to call, and there's lights to turn on, and I've got 50 neighbors right next to me. You know, I don't live out in the woods by myself or something.
Mm-hmm.
Thinking again about what you just said about ghost stories and fairy tales coming about because of at one time we lived and worked when it was light outside, and when it became dark, we went inside and told stories and hid from things we didn't understand. It was cold. We couldn't see, right? There's always been this idea of other things out in the dark, be they, you know, Bigfoots, fairies, elves, whatever, little people, big people, giants, all kind of, you know, crazy things that live out in the dark. Why is it, do you think, that we put those entities in the dark as opposed to in the light where we typically operate?
I think because traditionally they were in the dark, maybe, and so.
Yeah, and I think there's that unexplained element of the dark. I mean, if people are very reliant on their eyesight and what they can see, you know, most people are very rational and they believe the things that they physically can see. And in the daytime, you can see what's around you. But when you get to nighttime and you can't rely on your vision, there's more of I think it opens up some of your other senses and some of your other feelings, and some of your anxieties kind of come into play because you can't see what's going on around you, and you're trying to reach out with your other senses. So it could either be that, you know, you're not relying on your eyesight. Could also be that since you're tapping into your other senses, you're picking up on things you don't pick up on the daylight. So you can hear a little bit better. You know, maybe your third eye or whatever, you know, your sixth sense is kind of in play. So maybe you're sensing things that are there more than you would in the daytime when you're relying on your sight.
Ghosts, spirits, angels, aliens, whatever, things that aren't us, living, mm-hmm. breathing, flesh and blood people, don't necessarily have to have a physical form, do they? Or a perceptible form.
I think it depends. I guess it depends. For me, like, if I think about, like, angels, if they're God's, you know, if God's sending them to deliver messages to humans, in my mind, they would be something pleasant to look at, and maybe even human-like, because, you know, I don't think God wants to send you a message necessarily and terrify you. You know, if he's trying to get your attention, you know, it would be startling. But I think if it was completely off from what we know, then I think the message would be lost. So I think, do angels, are they, you know, golden with beautiful wings? Maybe not, but I think that would get your attention and that would seem amazing and that would seem like a good thing. Like, I think if it's supposed to be a positive thing, it would look in a positive way. Now, you know, in the eye of the beholder, what is positive to one person might not be to somebody else, but I think it would be a generic amazing thing in a way. Like, I know that's, you know, oxymoron, but, like, I think it would be a universally, that's the word I'm looking for, a universally amazing thing that people would pay attention to.
To take it back to the light that we saw, so you listen to the episode, And you heard about both of the encounters with the weird light and the burning of the of Jamie getting burned
right
in the bathroom and everything. So give me your initial just impressions right off the top of your head there, what you were thinking.
It sounded, it would scare me. It would have scared me. It sounded scary to me, you know, or just unknown in a way. And I, the ladies that you had on, I know they were thinking that all of them were separate, right? Didn't they think they were all separate?
Yes.
The way that Jamie and you told the story, I think that it, the, at least two of the things were connected. I think the scanning of the lights and Jamie looking out the window and, you know, getting the burning sensation in her nose and her fingertip, to me that was connected. You know, the other stuff like the shadows and the weird energy from like maybe the new boots that you got and things like that, that could have been separate, but to me, Jamie's experience and the light experience, to me, those were connected.
When Jamie was talking to you about, no, apparently you texted her after you'd listened to it and you'd had a something of a breakthrough or epiphany, an epiphany. What was your epiphany?
Well, it sounds a little off the wall, but
it doesn't because I've got stuff to back it up. So you go ahead.
It just kind of occurred to me that, you know, people are always saying like aliens come down and they are, you know, experimenting on humans and they want to know what's going on. And, you know, we make them seem like this, these amazing creatures. And then, but they're always trying to find out more about us, you know, as if we're really hard to figure out. And, I was just thinking that maybe some of the things that have been going on in the household would have drawn the attention of some other type of force, you know, like maybe it's not that all of the things that you experienced in the house were connected to the lights. Maybe the lights were because of all the things in the house. Like maybe something was drawn to that, or they were, whatever the light was trying to scan the house and scan y'all and see what was, you know, cause that's the image I got when y'all were described the lights. That's what I saw. Like, you know, like you said, like a copy machine or something.
Yep.
And so I thought, well, maybe there's something about this area, not necessarily the house, because like you said, it's new house, but maybe something about this area that drew attention of something, you know. Mm-hmm. I don't know if alien's the right word or not, but that's what came to me like after I listened to it and then listened to the ladies as well.
So, yeah, I like that idea when you came up with that, and that got my brain all going and thinking what could it have been. And, you know, me being a comic book nerd and sci-fi fan and everything else, I'm always big into, you know, good versus evil and the most fanciful ways of looking at it. So my brain sort of went straight to, what if there's something maligned in this house causing us problems? And then something came from the outside to deal with it. I don't know.
Do you think did it get rid of it? Did it put it in check? Like, are they connected? Does it?
Or it was, like I said, maybe some sort of an angelic entity that was a sign. It drew our attention to all these things are going on in the house are disturbing. It's bothersome. But at the time, it was like, it's just my mind playing tricks on me. Until something you cannot explain pops up and goes, no, you need to actually pay attention to what's going on here. Could have been a heads up, you know.
And then, so like more like an angel then?
Yeah, maybe so. I don't know. It doesn't always have to be a ghost. It doesn't always have to be aliens. Sure. It could be something completely metaphysical that we'll never understand, you know.
Well, it kind of goes back to when we were talking about what angels look like. What is something that maybe the two of you would accept more than something else, mm-hmm. you know, and maybe
we do watch a lot of sci-fi, so
yes. Right. So maybe that was the comforting thing to y'all, or the you know, not necessarily a wake up call like you're living a bad life, because I don't mm-hmm. think you are. But if you took something from that experience that makes you want to change something, you know, then it really doesn't matter what it looks like. Mm-hmm. You know, and like you said, if you're into sci-fi, maybe that was more of a alert to you than something else would have been.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a winged person would have frightened you more so than somebody else.
Would have preferred like an X-Man or a
Yeah.
Some kind of mutant, but that's fine.
That's there's always next time. You don't have to.
Jamie also said that you have had some experiences in your life as well. Would you care to share any of those with us, and let's dig into it?
Well, the one that came to mind when after I listened to y'all's is something that every once in a while I'll think about, but it wasn't a scary situation at all. At least the one I'm thinking of wasn't. It was interesting, and then later I thought maybe I should have been scared, you know, because it happened when I was a young person, like an early kind of teenager, maybe like 13 or 14. And my best friend growing up, she lived down the street from me, and we would sometimes, occasionally, like in the summertime when it was, you know, nice out at night, we would sneak out for no other reason than to sneak out. Like, we did nothing bad, you know, we didn't smoke cigarettes or meet boys. We literally just snuck out of the house and like, look at us, we snuck out.
Those are the worst things you can do, by the way, is smoke a cigarette or meet a boy.
Exactly. So, and I did none of that.
Good job. Good job.
And so one night we snuck out, and we were just, the neighbor that was kind of like in between ours had this big kind of rolling hills yard. And if the stars were out, sometimes we would just lay in the grass and just talk about stuff, and we'd look up at the stars. And this one night, we were looking up, and it was dark. I mean, we could see the stars, and I guess the moon was out, but it was dark everywhere. Like, no lights were on anywhere else. And I don't really know how to describe it well, but the best way I can describe it is a piece of the sky started to move. And the only way I can get you to picture it the way I saw it was, like, if you think about, like, a piece of construction paper. And somebody cut, I'm going to say a circle, even though I wouldn't have necessarily described it as a circle, cut a circle out and then moved that same piece of paper around the other paper. So it was like part of the sky was moving, but it didn't necessarily have a discernible shape, and there was no light. And we both saw it, and we never saw it. There was no backdrop ever. Like, it never went in front of a house or in front of a tree. It always stayed in the sky. And we actually got up and followed it. And it was going back and forth, and we were kind of chasing it. And we were curious. We weren't scared of it. We just thought, well, this is kind of neat. It was, and it sounds strange, but it was like it was playing tag with us or something. It was just moving around. And we both saw it, and we were running, and then it just went away. Like, we didn't see it anymore. And then that was it. Like, you know, we never saw it again. Like, we talked about it and stuff, but we didn't know what it was. You know, I still, to this day, I've never heard anybody like describe a story like that. And because it didn't really have a shape and didn't have any light, it's a strange thing to say that you saw, because, like, how did you see it? What was it? It was like the same color as the sky.
Were there stars in the sky?
There were, but it wasn't up that high. It was probably, if I had to describe the size, I would say like of a bird, you know, like a songbird, a small bird. And I don't remember it going up that high. Like, I don't remember looking straight up at it. I remember it wasn't eye level either, but it was definitely up, but not too high. It never got too far away until it disappeared.
It kind of reminds me of that story Val told about the in Siri about the absence of light that they saw.
Yeah. The light that wasn't giving a light, almost a black light. It was just a
shape. Because maybe against the sky, it would look more like a piece of the sky, you know, if you didn't see it against a wall.
Yeah, that's what it just reminded me of, like a piece of the sky moving around.
Definitely wasn't a swarm of mosquitoes.
Definitely wasn't, because there was no way to, I know I'm not adequately describing it. There's really nothing I could compare it to. That's why it is like seared in my memory, because and like years later, you know, we stayed friends throughout childhood, but you know, she moved away, but like probably it's been like 10 years now, but you know, way past the time that we were kids, I asked her if she remembered it, and she did. She was like, I totally remembered it. I was just telling somebody about it the other day.
Did you hear anything or smell anything?
Nothing.
Were there street lights as well, or was it completely dark?
There were streetlights, but not close to us. You know, like it was there. Actually, there might not have even been streetlights, or if they were, they were farther away because we lived on It wasn't like a neighborhood; it was like a road, and there was only houses on one side of the street, and they were like far back in. Mm-hmm. They weren't all right up on the road, so that's why you could like run around in the yards and.
No sensations of fear or...
Not at all. Afterwards, I thought, well, that was maybe, when I got older, I thought maybe that was foolish, like chasing some random thing, in the middle of the night. but no, not at all. Like, I never told her at the time because she was a little older, so I wanted to be cool or whatever, but I had, in my mind, hoped it was like a fairy. Like, I thought a fairy had come to play,
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe, she had snuck out too and then got scared and had to leave or somebody called her back or something. Because it was like she was playing, it was playing at first and then it went away. Mm. But I think at the time we probably described it as like some sort of alien thing. But in my mind, I always pictured it as like a fairy.
Had the Roswell situation never occurred and we didn't have, aliens just in our mind all the time as everything has to be an alien, would it still be fairies? Would that still be what we're thinking about, you think?
I think it would probably always be fairies.
Yeah. And I think they're important to certain cultures. Yeah. We were just talking about that on our walk, talking about paying tributes to fairies and worrying if they were upset about something. And,
Mm-hmm. Probably say a lot more about that in my little piece at the end.
Well, I think it would always be a supernatural element if you didn't have aliens to compare it to.
Mm. Yeah.
Depending on what culture you're from and what you believe in. So, I think it would. That's just the way our minds explain these things.
What do you think our affinity is for fairies and fairy folk and fairy tales? Why do we want it to be true so badly? Is it because we have something in our genetic memory that remembers a time when we all lived together and that has since been removed? Or is it just some collected...
I think every creation has a purpose, and I think that they all are compatible or complement each other, rather, in a certain way. So I think that, whatever you're looking at and whether it's good or bad, even if you look at things like Bigfoot, sometimes people think Bigfoot is good, sometimes they think he's bad. And with fairies and pixies, sometimes you think they're good and sometimes they're bad. And humans are sometimes good and bad. So it's not necessarily that they are always living in harmony. But I think that everything has something to offer and we're all compatible and can coexist. So I think we have that drive to know that, I think we have that innate feeling that something out there exists and we have that drive to find what it is and believe in it.
Do you think if we dug hard enough, deep enough, that you could find a specific point in time in history where these sort of fantastical things went from being commonplace to being fantastical and being pagan and evil and wrong? And if you're going to say anything other than the establishment of the Vatican, I will probably say you're wrong. But
I think that's definitely when it started.
Right.
But I think that still most average, everyday people who are far removed from the larger establishments of the church probably still believed in it for a long time.
Because we see how easy it is to rewrite history, to forget history. Within just a couple of generations, people forget things. I saw this crazy video on YouTube. It's probably 100 years old, and everyone's probably seen it except for me, of these parents trying to get their kids to dial a phone number on a rotary phone, and they were going to give them like $20 if they could manage to do it, and they were reading them the number, and they kept doing the dial, but every time they'd mess up the dial, they'd pick up the receiver and then hang it up again like they were restarting, but they never picked the receiver up in the first place to make the call. So that being said, and these are 15-year-old kids,
right.
That was basic knowledge at one time. Sure. That is forgotten. And that's, now take something back to when was the Vatican founded? When did Rome fall?
480 is when they started establishing Christianity, but Rome.
Okay, so a long time ago.
Yeah.
So now imagine that something as commonplace as a fairy or an angel or whatever, if they didn't all get killed off, they were at least completely forgotten about, and you know, these are certainly fantastical things, right? If they don't want to be seen, they're probably not going to be seen, right? All I'm saying is, it doesn't always have to be aliens.
Yeah,
or ghosts. And I think it could be anything.
I agree.
And with the spread of Western culture, I think it happened to other people as well. So this is, you know, all how it happened in Europe. But I think as Western culture spread throughout the rest of the world, I think it became commonplace for other cultures to forget the supernatural elements as well.
Right.
So that being said, the thing that you saw in the sky might have been commonplace once upon a time, and we don't know. Yeah. So, did you have another tale?
I do, but it's super off topic. It's not related to fairies or aliens.
It doesn't have to be.
Okay.
No, this show. This show is about just things that we cannot explain. in the early episodes, there's not really going to be much of a theme.
Okay.
The seasons aren't going to really mean anything. It's just, here's the next person we're talking to, what we think, and move on from there. So whatever you have to share, do share.
Okay, so this one did scare me, so this was not necessarily a positive experience. It ended up okay.
You're here with
I'm
us.
I'm here now. But I'll start by saying that, and this is part of the story, but when we were younger, my older sister and I would, in the summer, get to go down and stay with my grandmother in North Carolina. And so I bring that up because the first time I heard of this was when we were staying with my grandma in North Carolina. But I remember she had all these, you know, older friends that lived by her. So she lived in this area where, like, every single house around her was an elderly woman, you know, and it seemed like they all lived by themselves. I'm sure that's not true, but in my mind, you know, that was the way it was. And I remember she was visiting with some of her friends, you know, downstairs in her living room, and we were upstairs taking a lie down, taking a nap, and I had a bad dream. And so I don't remember at all what it was. It just was a bad dream that woke me up and scared me. And so I came downstairs and told my grandmother that I had a bad dream. And one of her friends, I remember saying, "Well, I hope you didn't let the hag get you." And that's the first time I had ever heard that.
Nope.
And I said, I don't even know if I said anything. I probably just stood there. But I remember my grandmother saying, don't scare her. But she didn't say, like, well, that's nonsense. She just said, don't scare her. Don't tell her that and scare her. You know, and the only reason I bring that up is because that's the first time I had ever heard anybody talk about a hag getting you in your sleep. So I'll fast forward to when I was a little bit older, and I remember one of my good friends, her mother, talking about a hag got her in her sleep. And I, at that point, was old enough to be like, what does that mean? And she said, well, when a hag gets you, it's this old, like, witch lady, basically, is how she described it. And she sits on your chest or prevents you from moving. And you're kind of in this, like, in-between stage of, like, sleep and wake, and you can't get her away from you, but you can't really wake up, you know, and you can do nothing. You're just, like, paralyzed by this hag. And so at that point I was like, well, that's terrifying. I hope that never happens to me. You know, I never, like, questioned that it was real or not. I just thought, I just don't want anything to do with that. So later on, when I was kind of newly married, I guess, I remember my husband waking up and said, a hag got him. And I was like, you know about these? You know, what do you mean? What happened? He's like, nothing. She just sat in my chest and I couldn't get up. And you know, I'll have to call my grandma and tell her. And I was like, it must be a grandma thing. All grandmas know about hags. So that really kind of reinforced the whole, I hope that never, ever happens to me. You know, I do not want to experience that. I don't want to know more about it. I just want to stay far away from that. So, like, many years later, and this is probably, like, maybe less than 10 years ago from now, I think I experienced a hag when I was sleeping, but not the way they described it, like where she's sitting on your chest. I remember I used to be a side sleeper. I used to always sleep on my side. And I was facing the wall and not the window, so my back was to the window. And I remember feeling like somebody was behind me, and I knew it wasn't, you know, my husband, and I knew it wasn't a real person. Like, I didn't think a burglar had come in or anything. I just remember feeling somebody's presence there and knowing that it was this hag that everybody had talked about, and I couldn't move and I couldn't wake up. And even though there was nothing preventing the front of me from moving, the way it was where she was preventing me from moving. And so I, you know, was upset, obviously. And I remember just kind of, because I'm a person that kind of just kind of prays throughout the day. Like, I don't necessarily pray at certain times of day. You know, I just talk to God whenever. I remember, like, asking Jesus to remove said hag so I could wake up. And she did. She instantly left. And the only, other than being scared, the only other feeling I remember is her seeming, like, disappointed. Like, I feel like I could feel what she felt. And it was more just, like, this thing she did to, like, control people and just get delight out of terrifying people. And, like, when I asked God to remove her and she had to leave, it was kind of like, oh, man, you know, like, you know, I'll have to move on to someone else. And I've never experienced it again.
Wow. That's
very... Have you ever heard of that before? No. A hag? Isn't that terrifying? I was so scared.
I had never heard that before.
Well, you should have heard of it because that actually is a scientific thing.
I knew hags were scientific.
It's technically or psychologically, whatever you want to call it, it's known as sleep paralysis or night terrors. Hear me out.
I'm listening.
Sleep paralysis or night terrors. And what the scientific community wants you to believe in, and again, I have suffered with these for years upon years.
Really?
Yes, where essentially you are existing between sleep and wake. So basically, when you fall asleep, your body does something. I don't know from science. Your body does something to paralyze you. Shut your muscles down. That way, when you're having a dream, you don't start kicking around and throwing your arms and hitting yourself or hurting yourself. So your body's not going to move. Right. But you're experiencing it all in your head, right? So if you wake up, sometimes if you suffer from these things, you're awake and aware, but you still can't move. So your body starts to, or your mind starts trying to figure it out, and they say that it will create an adversary for you to deal with. Something is keeping me from moving. Something is holding me down. And then you just have to struggle, focus on something else. Like you said, you started to pray, which got your mind on something else, which led you to believe, wait, I am actually awake. Okay, I'm good now. Whew, I'm all right. So that's how, I guess, the sleep experts describe that that experience is...
In between wake and sleep.
Yes, exactly. Now, if you want to take this on a metaphysical level and believe that when you are asleep and dreaming that you're actually somewhere else, that those are other realities that are out there, that's another thing you can think about. And now you're stuck between worlds and you've brought something back with you.
Don't like the thought of that.
That is the feeling I always have, because whenever I wake up from, or trying to wake up, I have it so often now that it's almost more of an annoyance, because I'm be in the middle of a dream and I'll start to realize, like, I can do like that lucid dreaming sometimes where I can kind of control stuff. But if I do it for too long, I start to realize, oh, this is about to go wrong. I'm about to be paralyzed again. And I just like, oh man, I wish I could have just got through this dream and everything would have been fine. And then some unknown force will be in the dream, you know, some kind of monster will pop up, a shadow person, or just like an angry person will be coming at me. I'm like, I got to get out of this. And I can feel my dream body moving, and I can feel my physical body in bed not moving at all. And I'm trying and fighting and fighting. And eventually I'll just thrash off and get up and be like, okay. But my heart will be pounding.
Yeah.
And if I look in a weird, one, two. And if I look to a part of the room, oftentimes I'll see something, you know, something shadowy. When I was really young, I would see, like, goblin things, is what I thought they were. But it was always something green-faced with, like, a hood over its head. They were always very small, very short things. So when I would wake up, I would look, and then they would kind of be scurrying around, and then they'd be gone. And I would wake up and go, wow, that was... That was fun, you know, but I never told anybody. I told my parents, you know, that I was having those situations, and we looked it up, you know, online, and it was sleep paralysis, not a big deal. But then again, as you start studying deeper into this stuff, I don't know, man. I don't know if I could just blame it on my brain and trying to make up something when you have these real feelings of dread.
Yeah.
You know, and that physical sensation that you get, like you said, of some describe it as a hag, some have called it like a crone.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure you've all seen that painting of the nightmare, you know, where the horse's head's around the corner and there's that goblin looking thing sitting on the lady's chest. That is supposed to be an artistic depiction of what you experienced.
Mm.
That's what that is.
Do you have a particular point in your life where this sleep paralysis has happened to you more than other times? Like, would you say it happened to you when you were a kid a lot, or would you say it happened to you more as an adult?
It's just constant. I don't, I can't really remember when it began. No, I mean, it's gotten less and less as I've started to kind of control my dreaming more, I guess. I think when, if you can get your body away from the surprise of it, it's not so scary.
Mm.
Like, if you know it's going to happen, like I said, it's more of an annoyance now, and I'm not too scared of it. But it used to be a lot scarier before.
It is scary.
Yeah.
Especially if it happens a lot.
It does. And it doesn't happen as much when I'm sleeping on my right side. But when I sleep on my right side, apparently I snore. So I'm forced then to either sleep on my back or my left side. And any of those two spots, that's it, you know.
Could you try sleeping on your stomach?
I have tried that, and my arms go to sleep.
Mm.
I don't know why that happens, but my arms will literally fall asleep.
Probably like under your pillow or something. Hmm.
Yeah. So is it physical? Is it something metaphysical? I don't know.
Well, the interesting thing about that is, or the unexplained thing about that is, Gretchen didn't actually experience the paralysis, though, right?
Not in the way people had described it to me.
So not with,
before.
Like, a weight?
No, I could just feel her presence
next
to me. And I couldn't move initially, but it wasn't, like, on my chest. It wasn't, like, a weight on my chest.
Yeah.
It was, like, just the presence of this person near me making it so I couldn't move. But then, you know, you have some dreams where you don't want to move. Like, you kind of, like, wake up and you're scared and you want to, like, touch another person just to know that everything's okay, or, like, make sure all of your skin is covered by something so nothing can get you.
Yeah, that's another thing I don't understand. And this is obviously not a dream episode, but might use it for that. But what is it about? Why do we always want our skin covered? Is that something in our genetic memory?
Goes back to the light thing, like where there's scary things in the dark, but if you're inside, it's not scary, even though all those terrifying things would still be out there. That wooden door is going to keep you from those horrible things. Like, the covers will keep you from scary things. If your skin's not exposed, nothing can get you. I don't know.
Is it innate feeling of needing to be sheltered and seeking shelter when you're scared or when something bad is happening?
Yeah. Like, you don't want anything exposed. Like, your skin is vulnerable, right? Like, it's, you know, tissue and flesh and easy to hurt. But if it's covered, you know, I don't know.
One of the things that I have heard or have been reading, I don't remember where. I think it was in one of those magic things we were looking at about you don't ever want to pay attention to something that's scaring you, because then it'll notice you.
Yeah.
And I think about that when I wake up in the middle of the night at you know, 3:30. I'm always at 3:30. I'm waking up. And I'll, like, try to force myself not to think about it, because I know as soon as I do, something will pay attention to me. And then I'll just kind of, like, try to scare myself and do that. What is the fascination with wanting there to be something scary in the room? And every time there is, I panic.
I don't know. I think it's that whole, like, just don't look out the window and you won't see any scary person in it, you know?
Yeah,
I think maybe it affects certain people, because, I don't know, I used to think that people would see ghosts if they didn't, you know, if they didn't believe in ghosts, the ghosts would try to make them believe, kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But now I think it's more the other way around. I think if, like, you don't believe in ghosts, the ghosts are like, psh, whatever, you know, yeah. moving on. Or not even a ghost, but whatever we're talking about. If it knows it doesn't bother you, like, if you, like, don't look it in the eye, if you don't seek it out, if you don't.
Mm-hmm. I think we're born with that desire to look for something scary or look for something else, because there's that whole monster in the closet syndrome, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you always expect there to be something in there to scare you.
Yeah.
For me, it's under the bed. I hate the under the bed.
I don't like going up the stairs when it's dark downstairs. Like, even if the whole house is full of people, if it's dark downstairs and I have to go up the stairs, like, I book it up the mm-hmm. stairs because something will catch me if I don't.
mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, and I think all humans have that for some reason, you know.
It's probably why we're still alive.
Yes.
Our ancestors were fast runners, too.
Yeah.
They got out of there. Chain.
That's right. And again, you can look at it in one way that they were running from predators or, sure. or whatever, but could have been running from something else.
Could have you know? Been.
All right, well, great. Well, thank you for sharing your tales with us. Did you have anything else you wanted to share?
Save it for the next season.
Okay, well,
no, we're good.
We'll save the return of local favorite Gretchen for season two. Do you have any websites or new books you're working on?
No.
Any new CDs coming out?
Oh, no. Okay. Not this girl.
All right.
Sorry. I'll try to think of something.
That's how she got to be the local favorite mystery.
That's true.
It's a mystery. What I'm working on next, who knows?
All right. Well, we'll look forward to that. And we appreciate you spending your time with us. And we hope you come back again soon.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you, Gretchen.
You're welcome, Jamie.
Okay, well, we certainly hope that you enjoyed the conversation between Gretchen and Jamie and I, with her takes on our strange tales and our take on her strange unexplained experiences. It certainly was a delight to chat with her. Hope to have her back very soon on the show. If you'd like to share your own experiences with us and be on the show, you can get in touch with us via our email address at windowlightpodcast@protonmail.com. Just like it sounds, windowlightpodcast, all one word, @protonmail.com. Or our preferred method of communicating with you would be to write to us at our P.O. box. Send anything you'd like, anything at all, to our P.O. box at The Window Light at P.O. box 5102, Williamsburg, Virginia, 23188. Again, that is The Window Light at P.O. box 5102, Williamsburg, Virginia, 23188. Had some great responses so far via postcard and letters. If you're not comfortable sharing your tale, you know, on the air over the podcast or through email, feel free to write it down, send it to us, we'll read it, and we'll get back in touch with you the same way that you got in touch with us. And you know, if you'd like to give us your permission to read your encounter on the podcast, we can do that. Anything you send us, we will certainly return in kind. We'll send some goodies back to you as well, and we'll keep that conversation going in a very physical medium. As much physical as we can get to is what I would really prefer going forward with this show. Emails are great. Social media contacts are great as well. But there's just something nice, nostalgic, much more grounded and rooted in the writing of a physical letter, putting a stamp on it, sending it, it being received, read, and then we can then return in kind. I think really keeps the positive, rooted vibe of this show going forward. So again, we do encourage you to write to us, but if you want to email, that's fine as well. Just get in touch with us, and we will get your information and get your tale told on the podcast. That being said, some things to look forward to coming up. We do have about 6 more episodes scheduled up right now in this season. More to come, obviously. But we've got more interviews lined up. We're going to have some interesting Civil War stories come up from the Williamsburg, Virginia area. A possible encounter with the ghost of John Wilkes Booth. Certainly looking forward to that one. We are going to have an on-site investigation at a house out in Smithfield, Virginia, that we're going to do some video with as well. So we may release that via YouTube, but we'll certainly let you know. So, as always, let's keep our intentions pure, thoughts positive. Remember, karma is a real thing, and there's more going on out there in the dark than you realize. So let's put some light on it. We'll talk again next time.